for blessing us here this morning. You know, we've all heard comments such as these before. My dad saw me at a track meet after not seeing each other for a while. After my race, I went to say hi to him, and the first words he said to me were, "You got fat." I was hurt because we hadn't seen each other in months, and those were the first words out of his mouth. Or we hear comments such as this. My aunt asked my cousin, "Is she okay with that picture?" in reference to a group photo of us girls at the beach. It definitely made me feel terrible. Or a comment like this. "Hey, Jeff, you sure are fat." Ninth grade, happened to me. And it still sits in there today. By shaming, we take the focus off of ourselves and we place it on others in a negative light. And in that, we create divisions with others and we do not build bridges. In shaming, we encourage people to seek revenge and not solutions to whatever it is they find themselves in. Let me say this, shaming does not work, period. And there's no purpose to shaming, because nothing comes out of it. No good will come out of it. It hasn't, it will not today, and it will not in the future. Now, we've seen a shift in shaming, haven't we? For those of you who like the social media world, you see it quite often. Even this past week, we've seen lots of shaming going on. But shaming is nothing new. Shaming has been something that has been going on for a long time. And today, as we go into this passage from the Gospel of John, we're going to see that this woman at the well, there's an underlying current here going on. An underlying current of shame that comes to the forefront. You see, we have a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who's at the well, and she's there at noon. Now, many people did not go to the well at noon because they would go early in the morning or later in the day. They didn't go at noon because it was hot. But this woman also went to the well at noon because she is a recipient of receiving and experiencing shame. Let's find out why. If you have your Bibles with you, or I believe you can follow up on the screen, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. Now, this is a rather large passage, so I encourage you to read this at home to find a little bit more of the context out. But for today, we're just going to read verses 5 through 9. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, from me, a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, it's important that we understand the context of this passage here. Because when you hear this woman asking this question, you're going to have a greater appreciation for the moment. For this moment where this Samaritan woman for once was not shamed. When this Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, the scriptures say that the disciples went into town to get some food. Maybe they were going to check out that new Gate gas station on San Jose Boulevard, you know, where you get the free drinks until September 6th. I've only been there 3 times. Well, the disciples are going into town to get something to eat. It's lunchtime. And a Samaritan woman says to Jesus, "For you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Because Jews and Samaritans, they don't associate with each other. Now, the Samaritan woman here was responding to a heart of Jesus. A heart of Jesus that was crossing all barriers here. She was absolutely amazed at what was taking place before her very eyes. That Jesus was doing something radically different. That Jesus was loving upon her. Because what Samaritans were used to, they were used to shame. They were used to ridicule and torment. You know, the bitter hatred between Jews and Samaritans go way back, goes back centuries. If you go back into 721 BC, we see that the Assyrians swept through Israel, the northern kingdom, and they took the inhabitants to Assyria. And during their years in Assyria, Jews intermarried with the Assyrians and with the Cuthites, the Samaritan people. And then in 587 BC, fast forward a few centuries later, Babylon took the people of the southern kingdom, Judah, and they took them captive into Babylon. Now, in that time, there was no intermarriage taking place. And so when the Jews came back to their homes, they were of unadulterated Jewish blood. And as a result, they came to find a hatred for their northern neighbors. And that ugly hatred developed, it festered for time and time. And they began to say things of shame upon the Samaritan people. I mean, it was so bad that the Jewish rabbis would even say, "Let no man eat the bread of the Cuthites, the Samaritans. For he who eats their bread is as he who eats swine's flesh." And we know that was a no-no. And they even prayed these kind of prayers. "Oh Lord, please do not remember the Samaritans in the resurrection." How painful and how hurtful it was. So do you see this defining moment here at the well? Jesus crossed those barriers because there was a long-standing hatred of one another. You know, so often we don't realize the power of our words. We don't realize the importance of our actions and the consequences of shaming can impact generations, not just individuals. It can go on and on and on, just as we see in John chapter 4 here this morning. And we hear this, these words of shame, time and time and time again. And we begin to say to ourselves, "I'm not worthy of receiving God's love. Or I'm not good enough for love. I don't belong. Or I don't connect with anyone. I'm unlovable." And this type of feeling can then have an impact on our children. It can then have an impact on our children's children and our children's children's children. That's why I said it was generational. when we have these feelings all the time. And this language of I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough becomes for us the voice of shame. And it becomes for us a feeling that we're all too afraid to talk about. And get this. The less we talk about it, the more we feel that shame, don't we? Because what happens is we find ourselves finding an addiction. We go through bouts of depression. We go through trauma. We become aggressive with others. We might bully other people. And that list can go on and on and on when we're not willing to confront it. I'm so glad to see that Jesus confronted it. That he encountered this Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman who only knew shame. Because in her shame, she walked into this conversation and she experienced something that was so radically different. That someone saw her not as being flawed or unworthy of being loved. And I'm also grateful for this Samaritan woman who saw Jesus and was willing to engage in a conversation with Jesus Christ. You know, so often when we read John chapter 4, we get caught up in the passage and the parts where she was married 5 times and was living with a man. And we tend to only dwell on that part. We never really reside in the fact that she was a Samaritan. That entire generations of Samaritans had been shamed. And here was a community, the Samaritan community, who was shamed for centuries. And you know what the sad part about it is? There are entire communities that are still being shamed today. That we face in our current realities. All because they're just not like us. And that's not how God made us to be, folks. Because we are all made in the image of God. And in that image of God, we are meant for love and for connection. And that's what God desired us to be, loved and to be connected. And in that, whenever we are absent from that love, we suffer. And we experience and we feel shame. A heart that is filled with love and not shame or hatred towards others is a heart that really crosses those barriers in life and begins to reach out without shaming others. A heart of Christ is a heart and a mind that sees the divine potential in other people and in their relationships, all relationships. A loving heart is an enlarged heart. And remarkably, it's a vulnerable heart, just as Jesus' heart was. So vulnerable at the well. But I will say this. It's not a safe path. But it's the only way to go. It's the only way to go. The gospel of Jesus Christ compels us to such a life. A life that is filled with the love of Jesus Christ. A life that overflows with the love of Christ into other people. A life that experiences and knows that you are worthy of God's love and God's grace. A love that can love unconditionally. That's what I invite you to today. I close you with this saying from C.S. Lewis. To love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up, save it in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Friends, I pray that we can be more open to experiencing love and expressing God's love and not finding ways to put shame on each other. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come before you with hearts that are filled with many emotions at this point. Lord, we gather together here this day, ever so grateful for your unconditional love. And as we gather together here this morning, we prepare our hearts and minds to receive this meal. For Lord, you gave us the greatest gift, the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come together remembering this meal. There was a meal that reminds us and lets us know that we are never alone, that we are worthy of your great love. Forgive us of our sinfulness. Cleanse us, O Lord, and allow us to be fed, to be nourished in body, in mind, and in spirit. For this we pray, in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we open the sacrament of Holy Communion to all people. It is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Mandarin United Methodist Church. You don't have to be...